You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Oh, it's TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and you're in touch with a conversation with Dawn Karima. My name is Dawn Karima, and I sure am glad you're with us today because I am interviewing the best person ever. Ever. Just ever. No questions asked. And that's my dad. I don't know how many people in Native America grow up to have a radio show and then have a dad, and he's great, and they get to interview him on the air. But I sure think it's miraculous and delightful, especially in this day and age. So thank you, sir, for being one of the good guys.
And well, I'm certainly glad to be with you on the radio today.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, I know you won't brag on yourself, but you are Judge Grady Pettigrew, a great Cherokee Chickasaw man, one of the good guys, good character, good integrity. I know you have had a brilliant career, and now you spend your life helping other people, which is the very most fun there is. And you have been the best father I've ever known about. And I know that you're a good husband, excellent son, a wonderful brother, a great friend, an excellent uncle, just all the things that there are. And so today we will be talking about Warrior Up. We're going to be talking about Warriors Arise. And I think sometimes we just need a little mentoring. We need a little guidance from somebody who has done some great things. I know you've had a great career as a federal judge. You've had wonderful service, 2 Bronze Stars serving in Vietnam in the Army, and some books that you've written and college courses that you've taught. And you've just been a great influence in your life. If you're going to have a life, might as well have a good life. And you certainly are doing that. So, Dad, what are you passionate about these days when it comes to our Native American men?
Well, I'm sort of renewed and revitalized by a recent trip to Washington, D.C., and a visit to the Native American Museum. And when I say renewed and revitalized, the first thing I was very pleased to see was the number of Natives who were there experiencing the museum. Because in many cases, there are things you need to do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to hear the story about it, but sometimes you need to do it for yourself.
Yes.
And I'm on a kick right now about know something, learn something, and do something.
Oh, yes.
And what I was very pleased to see young people coming through, and I shouldn't just say young because there were many families where you had at least 3 generations there, and they were experiencing it to learn something because they have a wonderful exhibit on the history of treaties in this country. And there are a lot of people who have a general idea about what has happened with treaties, but they really don't know that historically we had a continent that was populated by people. And there were people who came from Western Europe and who repopulated that country.
Mm.
And at the end of the repopulation, they owned the country.
Mm.
The original people there have had to put up with a limited amount of space, a limited amount of recognition. And it was articulated in the treaty that despicable President Andrew Jackson said that natives were given two choices, retained their sovereignty or retain their land.
Mm.
And he commented after that you're not going to keep the land.
Mm.
So he actually instructed natives to go to the Great Spirit and consult on what course they should take because they weren't going to retain the land.
Mm.
So that, as I said, returning, I just got back yesterday, returning, that was a revitalization because, as it turned out, I don't care where you go, if you look deeply enough, you're going to learn something you didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take pride in what you're exposed to, you're going to find reason to be excited about telling somebody else about it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else that you ought to go. It is worth your time to visit that particular location
mm-hmm.
because it has history of our people, and you need to know the history of our people.
I'm really interested in the fact that I love this, know something, learn something, do something. And I love the fact that those are action steps, aren't they?
Well, I think that for a lot of young people,
mm-hmm.
They will tell you that they're limited. They're barred, they're encumbered, they're underage, they're whatever. And so they find themselves constrained rather than activated. To me, those three action steps represent no cost, low cost, no obligation type of opportunities that can be pursued by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
A 10-year-old can know something, can learn something, and can do something. And I'm promoting in my work right now random acts of kindness. They can do something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also saying that a 50-year-old or a 70-year-old can do the same thing.
Right.
And I would hope that we would have a greater emphasis in our community on what a warrior is
mm-hmm.
and what a warrior does.
Yes.
A lot of people seem to think that by virtue of so-called modern culture,
mm-hmm.
we have eliminated the need for warriors. I don't believe that. I believe we have a greater need now than we may have had at some earlier time. But the fact is, a lot of people don't recognize what the warrior culture stands for. It doesn't just stand for the fact that you are ready to go and to do battle to protect your people. But it also says that you are ready to do the right thing to protect your people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care where you look. If you look at a warrior culture, their entire purpose, standing and recognition, is because they're there to protect their people. Those who are weak, babies, elderly, women will be put into that group. We don't have to talk about whether women are weak or not. But the point of it is that the warrior culture is not based on robbing from grandmothers, injuring or abusing children and babies, or simply living the lowest form of community life. In other words, living as if you're the only person and only you and your whatever wishes matter. That's not the base. So when I look at the concept of a warrior culture, I look at the true essence of that and the fact that when boys are young,
mm-hmm.
they grow and learn in preparation for becoming a warrior. And then, of course, once a man becomes a warrior, they're a warrior forever. They may age, but they don't age out of that category. They end up being an elder
mm-hmm.
who comes from a warrior background.
That's good. Thank you. Now, if y'all want to know how I turned out so good, well, that's a big part of the reason I was raised by Judge Grady Pettigrew. Something you said, I want to point this out, too, about women. You don't have to be weak to be sacred. I think one of the reasons that warriors protect women is that we're life givers. We're sacred. We have a lot of wisdom. And so it's okay to protect and respect women. That doesn't mean we don't feel like you're telling us we're weak. We just feel like we're being honored. for the holy things that are in us, which is a great thing. And, you know, there's several things that you said that really stood out to me, because I do think a lot of our young men have confused, and it's not their fault, the media is doing it to them, other music is doing it to them, but they've confused gangster and thug with warrior a great deal. What's the antidote to that?
Well, I first think you need to know something.
Okay.
Gangsters are not warriors.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Boom.
You're gonna disappoint me, no matter who you are and where you live, if you accept the definition of gangster as a warrior. Now, because in my opinion, whether you call it gangsters or thugs or hoodlums or what have you, they aspire to the bottom, the top. They want to abuse, to take away. One of my friends was talking about people who sit around all day while you're at work,
yes,
trying to figure out how to steal your stuff.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. Well, actually, that day has the same number of hours for them.
Right.
And they could go to work and have their own stuff.
That's right.
But when you have a gangster mentality, that group, and I was going to say lowlife group, but that gangster group is going to recognize you for doing irreparable harm in the community, because that's the value system they have bought into. Warriors actually require you to be at the highest level. The physical requirements are: be the best physical specimen you can be to be an Olympic athlete, but you need to be a good, healthy physical specimen. To be as alert as you can be. We think about a lot of times the more difficult terrain, whether it be desert or forest or swamps or wherever. But warriors learn to live in that environment,
mm-hmm,
and to use the resources that were there. So when I say know something, there's a requirement for any community that people know their community.
Mm-hmm.
We had a number of very, very severe storms, rain on the west and snow on the east.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they ask on television is, look out for your elderly neighbors. Well, a warrior doesn't have to be told that.
Right.
Because when they have an elderly person living to the left or to the right, they check first inside their own home. They said, let me see inside this structure if everybody's okay. Then, after I've done that, I'm going to look to my left, if that's where the elders are, or to my right, because they may need a little extra help.
Yes.
That is not some kind of imposition for them. That is, in fact, an opportunity to serve in the warrior culture. So in that situation, if the person is having difficulty getting in and out, they may say, let me go and move the snow. Let me go and do something about the rain that has puddled or what have you. In other words, they say, what can I do? I'm not going to be able to change the weather, but I certainly can help someone who's in need of my strength to survive this particular incident and this experience.
Brilliant, just brilliant. And you know, folks can hear your show, Key Facts with Judge Grady Pettigrew, right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. And you know, I love what you said, too, about the fact that there's some hard work involved in being a warrior. There's some efforts that you have to make and some things that you have to do. And so when you think about what a warrior is, I think sometimes the bravest thing a person can do is hold down a 9-to-5 and support their family. I think sometimes the bravest thing a person can do is get up every day and go to school and get their diploma. I think sometimes it's a great act of battle and nobility to just not be part of the problem, to be one of the good guys. What do you think?
Well, I guess I find that a lot of people don't realize what great impact they can have, because these are things within their immediate control, because for all of us across the world, we find ourselves living with and trying to overcome the problem. We have egomaniacs who say that I should be the one who has the final word on everything.
Right.
And you say, wait a minute, you only represent one person on a planet with close to 7 billion or whatever, 7 billion plus or minus people. Why should your voice? And then we're not even going to add in that the fact that that voice that wants to control all of this may, in fact, be motivated by greed or egotism or a whole lot of other things, not by a genuine concern for the people. So avoiding being a part of the problem is important, and if you're not going to be elevated to the position of chief of your tribe, responsible for many, if you're not going to be a member of the village council or the tribe council or the state representatives or the all of those different elected positions, if you're not going to do that, you still can do it within the sphere of your family.
That's right.
You can say, I don't care where you live and what your history is, you need to have some items that sustain you. You need to have a provider. So we have a lot of history books and movies and all that about the hunter-gatherers and all, but today, somebody needs to make sure there is food in the home.
That's right.
And I'm going to just add healthy food, because that's such a that's ignored in so many ways.
Good.
There's food in the home, that the utilities are current, that the needs, the basic needs, are being met. And unfortunately, because of the economic system we have, in many homes that requires at least two adults. In some cases, it's two adults and all the teens and everything, because we have just a distorted economic system right now. But the provider role is so important. But just from what you were saying, the gangsters and thugs, and this is just my observation over a number of years, in many instances, they run around and they talk about how big and bad they are. But when they get in trouble with the people who actually are as big and as bad as they are, who carry weapons, the first thing they do is run and get their mother or their grandmother, not even their father, in some cases their father, but most of the time their mother and their grandmother, and they come down crying about how they're going to lock me up and I don't have the money for a lawyer and this and that and the other. So here you are, big and bad, but how big and bad are you really? So for the person who just doesn't even put their family in the position where they've got to go looking for legal services, and in many cases paying for legal services, if you become you avoid the problem by just simply not engaging in that conduct that ends up causing you to be incarcerated or have charges brought against you that you've got to defend yourself against. And in many cases, that's a simple thing. It's not being with the wrong people at the wrong time. And I mean by that just staying around positive influences as opposed to being somewhere. One of the questions that lawyers will talk about a lot is, where is it that you can be at 3 o'clock in the morning? And it's a positive activity. Well, certainly we want the people who work in the hospitals, we want them on the job at 3 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, please.
But for most of us, 3 o'clock in the morning, you ought to have figured out to get to your home or your friend's home or someplace and be out of that mix that is really out to engage in what used to be called devilment.
You know, well, Judge Grady Pettigrew, I know you have a lot of experience with that legal side. And what made me think of, it just brought something to my mind. I know you were raised by some wonderful, strong people. Some great medicine women, as they say, Indian doctors, root doctors down south, shell shakers, great people who had great values. And it just made me think of what Grandmama Octi said. We're not that kind of people.
Well, my maternal grandmother was the family matriarch. But the thing that a lot of people need to just spend a couple of extra minutes was that she really was a part of a team,
mm-hmm.
because her husband, my grandfather, Alpheus, was a strong patriarch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy telling it because he was not able to go past the third grade in formal education,
mm-hmm.
or what he called school housing. But I was a sophomore in college when I was testing. What did he know?
Mm.
And I talked to him. I was visiting them for a week. And I talked to him, and everything I talked to him about, I'm a college student, he knew something about. I don't mean junk. I mean, he knew something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did and what the two of them did together was to pool their resources and strength to create an identity that mm-hmm. said, we're good people. We're as good as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they also said, no matter what else you do, get some education.
Yes.
And I'm proud that among my cousins and extended, all kinds of professions are represented. And that is the influence of a strong family unit that said, do those warrior things. Do things to stand upright. This is an aside, but in my family, growing up, one of the big things was, if you're going somewhere, walk like you have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So none of this dragging your feet and kicking. Look straight ahead. Look like you are going somewhere that it matters. And it's an interesting thing because it spread throughout the family.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even, what happens when we get together for funerals or family reunions or other celebrations, we share those stories because they came at us from all directions. Those that grew up in the South, in Tennessee, my maternal grandmother, Esther Lee Hardin Pettigrew, actually was born on the Cherokee Reservation in Cherokee, North Carolina. But at any rate, that's an aside, because what they did was not just survive in very, very difficult times. I'm talking about times of blatant racism and segregation.
Yes.
But not just to do that,
mm-hmm.
but to actually thrive,
yes,
to say,
absolutely.
We want our children to do better than we did.
Yes.
And we want our grandchildren to do better than our children did.
Yes. I think that's beautiful. And I was thinking about when I was at Harvard, I was in a class and we had to create a theory. And we had to support that theory, just like there's a theory of relativity. There's all these theories, liminal theory, there's theories. So we had to make a theory, create all the support for it. And my theory was the peak hours of weirdness. That something happens after 2 a.m., like between 2 and 6, where all kind of just weird things go on. Like if you're going to get in big trouble, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., that's your window. Like if you're not back at your house or at your job or doing something reasonable, it's just the likelihood statistically is that you're going to get in trouble. And I was thinking about something that my grandmother said to me one time. I was talking to her about college and she said, well, I hope you're not out late at night. You don't need to be roaming around like you have no family. And that stood in my mind, you know, and she used to call you at like, you know, it'd be 6 a.m. and she'd call you to say hi. And she wouldn't talk very long, but she'd be calling all these relatives all over the country. And I wasn't out late and I'm sober from birth till death, never smoked a cigarette, never taken a drug, never tasted alcohol. So, I mean, she didn't have anything to worry about, but those words stuck in my mind that to her, misbehaving was acting like you have no relatives. So what's the importance of our family units and circles as tribal people?
Well, I think that we live in a society that tries to separate us, that works hard in many cases to denigrate us. And we really can only count on support from people who love us, who care about our long-term well-being. And the first unit that we would identify would be family, because In most instances, children are exposed to family members not by choice. That's just who they grow up with. And if you have a family of negative characters, characters who are constantly putting you down, constantly belittling the fact that you're curious, that you really do want to know something. You know, when you look at the impact of positive versus negative reinforcement, I'm told that for a child, one negative comment or characterization, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're lazy, you're whatever, that kind of thing, from a parent requires, and this may be old research, it requires at least 60 positive reinforcements to overcome that.
Yes.
So we have a lot of people who they really don't think that there's just a little extra effort of caring about those people who share common blood.
Mm-hmm.
May not be complete, but common blood. We go back. And then those people who, by virtue of whatever, are in the same family unit, maybe through adoption, maybe through marriage, whatever, but that we form that first little sovereign unit,
mm-hmm.
we can at least decide.
Mm-hmm.
Big enough to be a tribe, but we are going to be a sovereign unit.
As for me
and
my house.
That's really, you know, Octi people's, that's really what her perspective was,
yes.
that she knew in the harsh environment of the segregated South, not the segregated North, the segregated South.
Yes.
She knew that you had to have family in order to make it. And, of course, the model that they created, actually on both sides of my family, they protected children. They kept them close to themselves. They weren't just out running around, and they protected women. In my maternal family, women did not work outside the home unless it was something like a hospital or
a school.
A school, and my one aunt was a baker. But they didn't work. They didn't do what's called day's work because that made women vulnerable to so much misconduct.
Well, I think that's such a powerful emphasis. And remember, a tribe is just a big family. So when we come back from break, we're going to talk more with the best person ever, my dad.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is the premier internet radio platform offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus, Ohio on-air personalities. TalkTainmentRadio.com offers listeners diverse programming options covering topics such as arts and culture, love, life and relationships, technology, religion, paranormal activities, local and national politics, women's issues, alongside health and wellness. Listeners can access their favorite TalkTainmentRadio.com programs free of cost through the website. Download the TTR app to your cell phone and you can take us wherever you go. We have programs on demand to fit your schedule through our podcast. The address is TalkTainmentRadio.com.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18... 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks, the Ad Council, and TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the Ad Council, and this station.
Honey, I'm home. I've got a surprise for you. Ugh.
Get that filthy, disgusting tire out of my living room. You're on my favorite rug.
Calm down. You're going to love this.
What? Whoa. The goldfish bowl.
I won't run over them. Relax.
You roll that tire right back out of here.
Relax. It's all part of my master plan to save us money.
This is not going to be our coffee table. Don't even think about putting a piece of glass on top.
No, honey. This is a reminder to keep our tires properly inflated so we can save money on gas.
Can't we just tie a string around our fingers?
Sweetie, properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
Exactly. To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
What's wrong with a sticky note on the dashboard?
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too, at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Hey, let's put the sticky note on the tire.
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle. Dot, dot, dot. JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? Question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at ya, boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
The cup we drink is forgiveness. The tongue we speak.
Then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right. When you do wrong, when you turn right. But you turn all the way.
I'm Honey Dawn Karima, and now more of a conversation with Dawn Karima.
Oh, it's Talktainment Radio, and it's the world's greatest radio, and I'm Dawn Karima on a conversation with Dawn Karima, and I have an honor and a privilege. I don't know how many girls grow up to have their own international radio show and get to host the best person ever on it, their dad, but I sure am glad I did. And I am right now. We're being joined by my hero, my father, Judge Grady Pettigrew, who has served as a federal judge, who is a distinguished two Bronze Star winning veteran of Vietnam in the Army, an author of books, a teacher of college courses, a fantastic father, a fabulous husband, a good friend, a loyal brother, and a truly faithful son, good uncle too, and a wonderful mentor and role model to many, many people. And he hosts Key Facts with Judge Grady Pettigrew right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. So thank you, Daddy, for joining us today.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
What a privilege it is to interview you. How great that is. Some people wait their whole lives to meet their heroes, but I was raised by mine, and I'm grateful for it every day. So on that note, let's talk about fatherhood, because you're the best father I've ever seen. And I say that. I mean, I'm an adult, and you still help me with car trouble and come to my rescue when I need it and offer wise counsel and sage advice. And, you know, what does being a good father mean to you?
Well, I think that one of the greatest areas of responsibility that a man mm-hmm. has is mm-hmm. if he is involved with producing children, not just one child, he has a moral duty to serve those children as a good father.
Mm.
I'm not talking about child support and court obligations and all that. Before there were courts, men understood that they had a responsibility to their children.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting is a team process. Yes, mothers have responsibilities, but the father's responsibility is not the same as the mother's.
Mm-hmm.
So what I encourage young men to do is to look at whatever model, and it doesn't have to be perfect, whatever model they are exposed to, and see how those men hold up the image of the good father.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that's important is because in many instances, young men start with the model closest to them, their own father. And if that father was flawed by substance abuse and alcoholism and what have you, they want to stop there and say, well, I may as well reproduce that father. No, mm-hmm. no, that is not good enough. Because if you want to learn something, you can look around and find other models. You don't have to stop with that. And for me, the problem that we have is that in many instances, people won't spend enough time trying to figure out what is really true and important mm-hmm. in a particular role, relationships, or whatever. So in a good father, you start out with providing. You start out with the fact that whether you are getting your support from the land, farming or hunting or what have you, or whether you report to an 8-to-5 job every day, you still have a requirement that you go and you do what it takes to provide for your family. And then the issue of who's got the power just gets into all kinds of discussions and dynamics. There are men who feel that the way you show the power is by exerting your physical power over the entire household. And the problem with that is it doesn't really work, because you can get a lot more result, cooperation, and, in fact, education to your family by simply sharing information and attempting to either persuade or reach a consensus on various points. And that really doesn't matter what the economic situation of the family is. Some of the largest revolutions that we've had in social change and so forth in this country have been led by very wealthy people who hate their father. And they go out to do everything they're big enough to do to show that hatred or to rebel from that influence. So in many of those cases, it's industry. The rich have worked hard. And so we have these progeny, the children, who just refuse to work hard. They devote their life to a life of leisure. And you say, well, that wealth is going to stop with this generation, because they're actually disposing of it faster than it can be accumulated on the basis of profits, income, and dividends. But to me, for men of every generation, they should be involved in an active study of fatherhood and putting in the categories their own result. Is a father someone who's stingy, who says, I'm going to smoke, and therefore, whatever the income in our family, we're going to have this much less because cigarettes are 10, 11, whatever amount they are per pack, and we only have so much money coming in?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to say, well, you know what, even if I smoke, I'm going to limit smoking so that it's not a hardship on my family. So instead of smoking two packs a day, I'll smoke two cigarettes a day. Now, I'm not encouraging smoking. That's never been a part of my recommendation. But the point of it is we need to have a deliberate and intentional program from the men that says, these are things that I'm going to do. I am not going to abuse my children. I'm
right.
not going to put my children down, calling them dumb and stupid. Those are very low-cost items on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I am going to work to provide a safe, healthy environment for them to grow up in. And in some cases, safe just simply means psychologically safe. I'm not going to put them in a community where nobody in that community cares about them or anybody that looks like them. I'm not going to indulge people putting them down simply because of the power structure of the community. I will just vote not to participate. I'm not going to encourage people to say that that cute little round face that has black hair and these shining eyes is not as healthy and as beautiful as some face that has yellow hair and blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I will not agree with that, and therefore my children will never be able to say that my father thought that particular look was superior to the look that I have, which I can't do anything about.
It's a blessing, actually.
It's a blessing mm-hmm. because I have skin that stands up in all kind of weather, and just it's a good thing.
Yes, it is. It's always a good thing. And so,
it's a gift from the Creator, so we really, it's not something we have an option to reject.
That's right.
I think we can more fully appreciate that.
Well, since you mentioned the Creator, I know one of the bedrocks of your life and my life as your daughter and your family life, I mean, we're very focused on our tribal spirituality. You know, I'm a stomp dancer, shell shaker, and powwow dancer. But we also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him through our church. But what does faith have to do with being a warrior? What does prayer have to do with being a warrior?
Well, actually, survival and or thriving in difficult times takes some additional power.
Mm-hmm.
Every person can have physical power. And in many cases, that's the only thing that seems to be celebrated in the culture in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
But to my mind,
mm-hmm.
spiritual power is an unlimited resource. And time when resources are pretty precious, pretty expensive, pretty whatever, that's something you can access, and you don't have to ask anybody's permission. You don't have to rely on anybody else controlling it. And the thing that happens in our culture is that we spend a lot of time talking about the differences, not the similarities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this happened to me in actuality. As a freshman in college, I took a course called The Bible as Literature.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a family on all sides that was Christian and deeply Christian, serving and deeply Christian. And the professor in that was actually a PK, a preacher's kid and all. And at a state university, they didn't try to proselytize or get you to believe in a certain way. But near the conclusion of the course, he actually focused on all the great religions of the world. Mm-hmm. And he said, one of the things they all have is some belief and reliance on a higher power. And he said, and most of recorded history in our culture is spent fighting over the differences that they have and what that higher power is called, what the limitations are, does he have a son, doesn't have a son. And so in my way of thinking, that fight over what the higher power is called is certainly, I'll say, wasted time. Mm-hmm. But the reality for me is